If you drink every night when you come home and you go straight to the kitchen and pour yourself a drink or grab a beer from the refrigerator, don't do that. Change what you do when you go home. Do something different to change up that routine and break that consistency.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to the How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs podcast
with your host, Brad Chandler, and our guest today, Greg Gilmore from beautiful Miami. Welcome, Greg.
Hello. Hey, Brad.
So let's just jump right in. Greg, is it easy to be addicted to something?
Brad, I will tell you what my client said. He described his addiction as hard work. And it took me back. What are you talking about? He's like, no, because I had to wake up in the morning. I had to think about where I was going to get the money. I had to find out where I could get the drug of choice. I had to wait hours sometimes in getting that. And then in his case, he had to find some place to do it, right? It's not easy. It doesn't matter if you're talking about drugs, alcohol, or smoking, all of those. It's easier to be sober. And it's also less expensive, not to mention how much healthier your life is going to be without it. And Wayne Dyer telling me that same kind of story associated with smoking. It's easier to be a non-smoker than it is to be a smoker. And he described the cost. And in today's society, you have to go outside. You have to be in the cold. You have to buy special toothpaste. It's like all kinds of reasons why it's easier to not do this thing. And the reason we're talking about that is we need to flip the switch or flip the script on anything that's a negative habit, right? And when we talk about addictions, that's really what we're talking about is it's a negative habit. It's something that we're doing that moves us away from something else. And what we know to be the truth is it's some kind of pain, right? And the thing that keeps people from doing it, in my estimation, is that they don't know what their life is going to look like without it. And it seems like such a long-term commitment, something that their mind can't get behind. Brad, I know you agree with me on this, but break it into smaller pieces. Think about it in 24-hour segments.
So the takeaway before we dive deeper in is that being an addict is really difficult, right? And we'll show them how. If you can solve the addiction problem, life becomes a lot easier. Last week, we talked about the three reasons that someone becomes addicted, right? And those are stress, emotional pain, and social disconnection. In this episode, we're going to talk about understanding the reasons for escape and processing those reasons. You touched on it a little bit, but what is the first thing, Greg, that you would recommend someone that has an addiction to any substance would start to do?
We talked about this last week about connection, right? Gain connection with something other than the drug of choice, whether it's alcohol, drugs, or anything really. Gain connection with other things. And ultimately, you have to move toward gaining connection with yourself. And that's going to lead you to who you really are, finding out what it is that you like to do that's not associated with this other behavior. I would say the most important thing is plan ahead. Like I just said, you don't have to plan ahead 24 years. You just have to plan ahead 24 hours. What are you going to do during those times when you're most likely going to historic use drugs, alcohol, or had an issue with eating or whatever it is? What could you do instead? You have to have a plan because it turns out that a craving only lasts about 15 minutes. So really, you just need 15 minutes to move forward. So what is it that you enjoy doing, whether it's going for a walk, going to the gym, calling a friend and talking to them, as opposed to going to the refrigerator or going to the liquor store, right? Just get them to be that buffer.
So I experienced this. I stopped drinking in January of last year. So it's been almost 2 years. In the 4 years up to my stopping, I became a bourbon connoisseur. I love bourbon. Through COVID, I drank it just about every night. And I'll go into restaurants frequently and I'll see that bottle of bourbon. I'll be like, oh my gosh, that would taste so good. 5 minutes later, I have completely forgot about it. So you are right. It's interesting how if we just don't fight the feeling and we just let it be, it often dissipates. Whether it's a feeling to want to drink or the feeling of like loneliness or the feeling of despair or anger or shame.
Absolutely. And recognize it. The thing that we're also going to talk about today is awareness. Connect to yourself. Bring awareness to your feelings. Your feelings are the most real thing that you have. They move you into so many different areas. And what you were just talking about is the awareness that, oh, that made me want to do that. What do you call that, right? And then move beyond it.
If we're getting back to the reasons for escape and processing them, you started talking about chunking it down. Tell us more about that. That means don't plan on trying to do something for 10 years, right?
Right. Exactly. It's just like the pizza analogy that I used last week where I was like, you tell your mind you can't have pizza and your mind says, I'm going to have a whole pizza now. Right. I know that from experience. But the thing to do is every day is a sober day. So you wake up in the morning and go, you know what? We're going to leave tomorrow for tomorrow. Today is a sober day. This is also about living in the present, right? You are making the present moment more important by connecting to yourself and by connecting to other people. Back to that, it's easier to be sober than it is to be in your addiction or in your drug of choice. You have the opportunity to be clear, right? And it brings in so many other opportunities. And you're able to wake up in the morning the next day and do more things. You're feeling healthier. You're able to go out on the walks, or you're able to go to the gym, or if it's just reading or whatever it is, you're able to connect to those things that bring you joy. And that's the key.
You know what's really interesting? I'm thinking here, why are we talking about addiction for the second episode in a row? There's two reasons. Number one is you really can't be happy if you're addicted to something.
No.
And number two, as you're saying these things, Greg, I'm sitting here saying it's the same thing to happiness.
Is
so
it?
Everything we're talking about on how to kick addiction for those people who don't have any addictions, if you follow this recipe, look, focus on today and live in the present. That is a huge piece of happiness, right?
Well, the key to leaving anything negative behind is finding your happiness. And a lot of people think happiness has to be attached to something. I deny that. I believe that it can be unconditional, that you can find unconditional happiness through appreciation. And I'm choosing appreciation instead of gratitude, because the word appreciation comes from appreciate. And we love it when things appreciate. We love it when our house appreciates. We love it when our bank accounts appreciate. Well, when we appreciate, guess what? It's the same thing. It's bigger, it's more, and it feels amazing. So bring in appreciation into your life. And that's true happiness. We talked about this before too, but it can't be said enough. I mean, we could say this every single day and still there'd be tons of people who need to hear it. You have to bring yourself to happiness or joy to move forward, right? That wasn't exactly what I was going to say. I'm trying to remember what that was. But it's so important to bring appreciation into your life because it brings you outside out of those negative feelings.
Right. And what I have on the screen now is it's hard to suffer if you live in the truth. So if you're not connected to others, why wouldn't you be connected to yourself? Trauma takes you out of connection with yourself. And how? By focusing on the untruths. So as a young child, we all have these traumatic situations where we put these meanings on to get us through the trauma. So our beautiful brain is doing exactly what it should. It's helping us survive. But we tell ourselves things that aren't true. When a bad thing happens to a six-year-old kid, what does a six-year-old kid say? Well, I must be bad. And yeah, it's my fault. I did something wrong because my parents, who I idolized, they didn't do anything bad. It must be me. So anyway, we live in the untruths for years. And it took me 47 years to find my truth, right? But once I found it, I got the freedom. I no longer have to drink or smoke marijuana to feel comfortable or be myself, because I'm now connected with myself, and it's a beautiful thing.
Thank you for saying that, because that is so important. And it's so great to see the smile on your face as you're saying it.
Thank you.
I mean, you can see it. It's so cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
Just to quickly, as you were saying about the six-year-old kid, the thing about being a six-year-old kid and having things go wrong, you always blame it on yourself. They always do. But the alternative is that they're living with some people who are out of control, and there's nothing that they can do to be safe if that's the truth. So to me, that makes it so much more clear when you realize, oh, they don't have a choice in this, because the alternative is unacceptable, right?
Right.
So for me, that was really a big piece of understanding when I realized, yeah, that's of course you're going to blame yourself, because the alternative is not an alternative at all.
So back to understanding the reasons for escape and processing them. We've got focus on the truth, focus on the present, take it one day at a time. You started to say earlier, doing things differently in your day to address the symptoms of the cause. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So if you drink every night when you come home at 5 o'clock and you go straight to the kitchen or wherever and pour yourself a drink or grab a beer from the refrigerator, don't do that. Change what you do when you go home. Go straight to your room and put on your sneakers or whatever it is. Go to the gym. Do something different to change up that routine. Break that consistency.
Yeah. So if you drive past the liquor store every night and you stop and get whatever it is, a bottle of bourbon, change your route, being aware that this is going to be a trigger, then take away the trigger. What else can folks struggling with this do, Greg?
Obviously, you don't want to have it in your house, right? Nobody who's stopped smoking has a pack of cigarettes laying around. Somebody who's trying to eat healthier food doesn't have cookies on their counter. Specifically with food, that's so important because what we see, we want to eat it. It's hardwired into our DNA. If we see food, we literally want to eat the food because we're programmed that way. Historically, we didn't know when we were going to get more. In the past, you wouldn't say, oh no, we got fish today. I'm not going to have that. I don't like it. I prefer to wait for the steak I know is available, but it wasn't available, right? So you took whatever was in front of you and we're still operating under those genetic plans.
From thousands of years ago. Yeah.
But we have it everywhere. And we have sugar, which is even more addictive than cocaine, that is in everything that we buy, which brings us to another whole other topic about the corporate food situation.
We'll have to save that for another day.
Yes, exactly.
So let's switch now and wrap up. Why do some people become addicted and others don't?
I always say it's all based on a belief and finding out what that belief is. I've had people tell me I have an issue with this if I drank too much, so I'd always limit it to a certain amount. Well, that's an example of a good belief that's going to keep you from moving forward with an addiction. Whereas a negative belief is that I'm not enough or I can't connect with people without this. Now, you don't know that you have that belief necessarily, but you could probably tell based on the stories that you tell yourself. So if you're going to a party, for example, and alcohol is the issue, you're like, I need a drink. Where's the bar? I need a drink. If you're aware, you feel that anxiety associated with interacting with people. Wait a minute, I'm using this for something more than just the fact that I like the way it tastes or that it's just a drink. It's taken on a new role. And the role is to get you out there, to make you connect, but it's disconnecting you.
Excellent. As our mentor, Marissa Peer, likes to say, addiction is often, if not always, I think she says always, driven by the I'm not enough. When you feel empty inside, you got to fill it up with something, right? Whether it's alcohol, cigarettes, booze, women, gambling, work. And so that I'm not enough goes back to it's hard to suffer if you live in the truth. So no one listening to this podcast is not enough. We were all born enough. It's just our imperfect parents and imperfect caregivers did certain things to us that led us to believe we weren't enough. So the number one thing you can do is start living in the truth, reverse that false belief and live in the truth that you are enough because you are enough, always have been and always will be.
Yeah, absolutely. And allow that in. All suffering is not living in your truth, but it's also related to attachment. So being attached to the way things are keeps you in suffering. Being attached to your way of something working out or the way you think things should be will keep you in suffering and will also keep you in an addiction.
Right. So we talk a little bit offline about the science around labeling an emotion. My good friend, Dr. Eugene Choi, was on a recent podcast and talked about this fascinating study that UCLA did where they hooked participants up to brain scans and they showed the participants pictures of people in survival mode. Because often when you feel a negative emotion, you're in fight or flight, which is survival mode, right? So when they showed them these pictures of someone being angry, fearful, anxious, sad, whatever it was, their survival state kicked in, which amygdala got activated. Then they asked them what they saw. And the moment that the participants labeled the emotion, they were immediately kicked out of the survival state brain and it turned on the executive state brain because it requires you to think about it. So what we'd urge you to do is when you feel these negative emotions, don't fight them, just pause and identify them and then label them. Don't label them as I am, because when you say I am angry, you're identifying with angry, right? An identity lasts for a very long time. A feeling comes and goes. So if you say I feel angry, that's a much better way rather than saying I am. So just sit with it. Give yourself compassion, because a lot of us didn't get that compassion as a child. You can now give yourself that compassion and then it's going to dissipate. Just like that feeling of wanting to drink. If you fight it, it's not going to dissipate. If you sit with it and let it go, it's going to go.
Absolutely. So I call it, I have a three-letter acronym because there aren't enough in the world. It's APL or Apple. So bring awareness, process it, and let it go, right? So if you say, there's the anger or I feel angry, what is that about? And if you understand where that's coming from, what the belief was that's driving it, and you say, well, that's something that I picked up when I was six, I can let that go. And the opposite of attachment is allowance. So you just allow it to float away.
So Greg, you've had the fortunate experience of helping a lot of people who are addicted to substances kick the addiction habit and find freedom, right?
Yes.
There's 100 things anyone can do. But what would you say the single most important thing someone could do if they're listening to this now and they are tired of the life that they're living because they are being controlled by this substance?
Again, it's connection to yourself is so important and finding something that you're interested in. You have to fill that time, and you're probably spending a lot of time doing this thing. So find something that is interesting to you. It's going to grow over time. That's the beauty of it. The more you connect to yourself, the more you get inspired, the more action you take on that inspiration. That's fun. That feels good. And back to the beginning of this conversation, ease comes from connecting to happiness, joy, inspiration. Follow that train of thought, follow that interest, and it'll lead you to a different life and to things that you love and things that you enjoy far more than you could possibly enjoy the chains of whatever it is that you're escaping with.
So, Greg, if gaining connection with yourself is the single most important thing that someone can do that's struggling with an addiction, what is the single best thing to gain connection with yourself that someone could do?
It's different for everybody. Some people meditate. Some people go for walks. Some people go to the gym, read, whatever it is. For me, I've been amazed at the last, I think it's something like 75 weeks. I've almost every day woken up first thing in the morning earlier than I need to so that I can read. And as a result, I found it amazing. I get super inspired. I read several different things at once, which may or may not be great, but it works for me. And I find that it kicks off my day in such an incredible way that it sets me up for positivity throughout the day, no matter what comes my way. And one of the things I read a lot is A Course in Miracles. And something that it says is that 5 minutes spent with your higher power, we'll use that language, sets you up for more connection with that thought system throughout the day.
If someone wanted to formally work with you, can you tell us how the actual RTT process, tell us what it is and how you're certified and what would actually happen and what would be the goal?
You mean the process of an actual session with RTT?
Yeah.
So a session for RTT is going to break something down into four I's. It's investigate, interpret, interrupt, and install. First, investigate where did this belief come from? Interpret it, get it to a little piece that you're going to be able to take forward that you're going to see is not true or relevant to hold on to, and then interrupt it. You'll be able to see that, hey, that was me maybe when I was 5 or 6, but it's not me now that I'm 45 or 46. Then your mind can let go of it. You can install a new belief. And the new belief is everything that you want that is available to you. And the good news is it's all available to you.
Is it really that simple? I mean, I know the answer because I'm also an architect.
I know, you tell me.
Is it really that easy? It is, right?
It is super cool. Well, it's simple.
It's, I like that.
It's not so necessarily easy, although it does make it pretty easy that about 60% of the change happens in that session with whatever you're working toward. And then you just keep adding that belief, allowing it to grow like a little seedling over the next, we say a month or 3 weeks. I listened to recordings from 2 years ago. And they still move me forward. I don't listen as often as I would like to. And I'm always amazed that when I say, oh, wait, let me listen to that recording that so-and-so made for me. It moves me forward really quickly.
It really is incredible how many people you've dealt with, I've dealt with, Marissa's dealt with, where they tried to fight this issue for 20, 30 years. And then in 1 2-hour session using hypnosis and the tactics that you just talked about, the person walks out like a completely different human being. For myself, it was a 3-hour session. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I cannot believe I've lived this way for 47 years. So if we can help you, we're here for you. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it, give us a rating and give us a review.
I really appreciate the opportunity to have this discussion with you, to share and agree with you on RTT. It's such an eye opener and it moves people forward so quickly. Every single time that I do a session with somebody, whether it's in person or on Zoom, I look into the screen and I see someone different after they open their eyes. They're just brighter, they're more relaxed, and they're calmer. And sometimes if it's a physical issue, they can actually do things that they couldn't do beforehand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're watching this and you're suffering, you don't have to suffer. There is a proven method to get you away from your suffering. No matter what you've tried, if you said to yourself, I've tried it all, you haven't tried it all until you've tried RTT and hypnotherapy, because it really is a life changer. So if we can help you in any way, shape, or form, our information is scrolling across the bottom banner there. We have started a private Facebook group called Addiction Answers. It's a place that you can come if you have any questions around addiction. We like to come at addiction from a little bit different than some of the other places out there that treat it. And it really is just like with any pain, whether it's physical or mental, we go to the source of it. What created this pain? And it likely stems from age 4 to age 10. And Greg, you've probably heard this countless times. Every day I hear this, but my childhood wasn't that bad. I wasn't beaten up or I wasn't this or that. And there's such thing as little trauma. trauma and big trauma. You don't have to have been raped or sexually molested to have trauma. I mean, benign things where you can feel like your mom liked your sister more or you weren't properly cared for. So don't ever try to compare yourself to another person. Just know that if you're suffering, it likely goes back. Oftentimes people can't remember stuff, but when we put them into hypnosis, all of these scenes come up and then we're able to be aware and heal them.
It's that constant pressure that has more effect than those major instances.
So it's Addiction Answers on Facebook. If we can help you out there, go there. If we get enough interest, we might start doing weekly or monthly calls on there to help folks out. Another session in the books of How to Be Happy podcast. And if we can help you, let us know. And just remember, you don't have to suffer. And yes, be happy.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.